Let's read together Psalm 73. In the first half of this psalm, Asaph, the writer, shares his feelings as he considers why God allows the wicked to prosper, a question we have all had at one time or another. In the second half of the psalm, Asaph receives insight into this apparent problem and shares this truth with us. Let's begin by reading the first 14 verses of Psalm 73. Psalm 73, beginning with verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Let's begin our study of Psalm 73 with some background notes. Psalm 73 begins Book 3 of the Psalms. Remember, Book 1 was Psalms 1 through 41. Book 2 contains Psalms 42 through 72, and now Book 3 goes from Psalm 73 through Psalm 89. We see from the title of this psalm that it was written by Asaph, who was a contemporary of David. Asaph also wrote Psalm 50, and we will see that Psalms 73 through 83 are attributed to Asaph. Now, Asaph raises a key question here in Psalm 73. Why do the wicked prosper and get away with their evil ways? Meanwhile, the righteous suffer and don't receive justice. It's not right. It's not fair. Did you ever have these same questions and feelings? I think we all have had these same questions and feelings. What's the answer here anyway? We'll see the answer in the second half of this psalm. Meanwhile, under our first doctrinal point, I think we can identify with Asaph as he looks around him, and it seems that God is not in control, because the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. So doctrinal point number one, the prosperity of the wicked confuses the saint. The prosperity of the wicked confuses the saint, verses 1 through 14. In these verses that we just read, Asaph acknowledges the goodness of God in verse 1, but then he confesses in verse 2 that he almost stumbled in his walk as a believer. Verses 1 and 2, once again. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Why had Asaph almost stumbled and slipped? Because, as he describes in verses 3 through 12, he became envious of the proud and prosperous wicked. Verse 3, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The prosperous wicked didn't have the physical and material problems that other folks experienced. Verses 4 and 5, for there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. They didn't seem to have to answer for their open pride and violence and unrestrained lusts. Verses 6 and 7. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They even mock God as they oppress the lowly. Verses 8 and 9. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, God's people are confused, because it seems that God is not aware of what's going on. Verses 10 and 11. Therefore, his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? If anything, the prosperity of the wicked seems to increase. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. And at the same time, the problems of the righteous continue. Asaph wonders, like many confused saints down through the ages, is it worth it? Or is righteous living all in vain? Verses 13 and 14. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. The prosperity of the wicked confuses the saint. Can you identify with that? I think we all can. Doctrinal point number two. The destiny of the wicked clarifies the situation. The destiny of the wicked clarifies the situation. Verses 15 through 22. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. For it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. Psalm 73 is a theodicy. A theodicy, by definition, is a vindication of God and his divine justice in the face of the existence of evil. And that's exactly what Asaph does in the second half of this psalm, Psalm 73. He shows that in spite of the prosperity of the wicked, God is still in control, and it's just a matter of time before God's divine justice prevails. The turning point for Asaph comes in verse 17, when he comes into the sanctuary and God gives him insight with the big picture. Verses 16 and 17. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. The bottom line is that the prosperity of the wicked is only temporary. In the end, they will be destroyed and swept away to judgment. Verses 18 and 19. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation, as in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. Then their present prosperity will only seem like a short dream. Verse 20. As a dream when one awakes, so, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. In verses 21 and 22, Asaph acknowledges that he was wrong in his early bitterness toward God. He was foolish and ignorant and like a beast before God. Verses 21 and 22. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. Let's ask ourselves, are we willing to admit that about ourselves when we question God's ways, that we're ignorant and like a beast before God? Now in the verses that follow, we see Asaph's response of stronger faith and commitment as a result of the insight and clarification of the situation that he received from the Lord. Let's read these verses, verses 23 through 28. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed, those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. For it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works. What a contrast we have here between the destiny of the wicked, who end up in destruction, and the destiny of the righteous, who end up in heaven with glory and honor. Verse 24, you will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. In view of such a future, and in view of the Lord's presence with us now, present prosperity and present ease are low on the priority list, or should be low on the priority list. Verses 25 and 26, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The wicked may have prosperity now, but they will perish in the end. Verse 27, for indeed those who are far from you shall perish. The righteous may have hardships now, but they will have a home in heaven in the future, and even now, they have the nearness of the Lord and understanding of his ways. The destiny of the wicked clarifies the situation. And now for practical application from Psalm 73. Be careful what you share with those who are younger in the faith. Be careful what you share with those who are younger in the faith. Verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. As Asaph looked back on the struggles that he once had with this matter of the prosperity of the wicked, he is so glad now that he did not share his doubts with fellow believers. If he had, he would have misled them and stumbled them. He would not almost have slipped and stumbled himself, as he said in verse 2, but he would have caused others to slip and stumble for sure, particularly those who were younger in the faith. Verse 15 again, if I had said, I will speak thus, namely, share all these doubts and questions about the ways of God, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. After all, this was Asaph, who was one of the leaders of worship to the Lord in Israel. Asaph did the right thing. He did not share his doubts and struggles in the faith with all Israel. No, he went before the Lord in the sanctuary and waited on God for the Lord's answers. Verse 17. We too need to get before the Lord and more into his word when we have doubts and struggles in the faith. When Asaph received insight and clarification of the situation from the Lord, then he shared his experience and answer from the Lord with his fellow believers, but not before. We should follow Asaph's example. Don't cause other believers to stumble. Be careful what you share with those who are younger in the faith.